Thank you.
Oh.
Sorry.
I am excited this morning. Are you guys excited this morning? I'm here with a heavy heart. I love to preach, but this is a tough reason to be preaching this morning because of Pastor Jake. But I think God's going to do something amazing this morning, so I want you guys to be excited. If you guys could turn with me to Psalm 77, we're going to start there. We certainly are not going to end there, so have your Bibles ready, okay? Psalm 77:11 says this: I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for who you are. God, I ask that you speak this morning, not me, not anybody else that has been on this stage, God, but that you speak this morning. God, open my eyes to what you have for me to learn. God, I know you are preaching to me this morning, God, and I'm ready and I am excited. God, we love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As she said, I am Ian Sullivan. I am the student pastor officially here today at Grace Point and then also at GMV. So we've got a lot of fun stuff going on. I feel called to hang out with middle schoolers and high schoolers. So what that means is that you need to pray for me because I love to do it. And so that's weird. Every time I say it, it freaks me out. So I need you guys to pray for me. Oh, hey, Laura. I need you guys to pray for me because we've got a lot of fun stuff going on, and I will probably stay up more nights than I wish to stay up all night long. I'm excited this morning, though, and I have titled my sermon, God, Help Me Remember. Help me remember. And this morning, I want to talk about forgetfulness. How many guys are forgetful? How many guys have had young children or have young children currently? Okay, quite a few of us, right? I don't have young children. I don't know why I said us. I don't have young children. I'm a young child myself, okay? So I don't have young children, but have you guys noticed that young children are super forgetful? I heard some laughs. Young children are super forgetful. Like, we were at some friend's house the other day, and they asked their child to put their shoes on. He was like, okay, I'll definitely go put my shoes on, Dad. Ran to go get his shoes, saw a toy, never got shoes on. Super forgetful. They're super easily distracted. But one way that they are the most forgetful is when you drop your kids off somewhere and then you leave, right? You know what I'm talking about? They're super forgetful that you're ever going to come back. Even though you've showed them time and time again, I'm going to pick you up. Don't worry, I will always be here to get you. Every time you drop them off, they freak out. My brother was one of those people. I have a twin brother, by the way. My brother was one of those children. I was like, drop me off. If there's toys, I'm like, see, I don't even know who you are, Mom. I'm going to go play. But my brother was not. My brother freaked out every time my mom dropped him off, no matter how many times she came and picked him back up. I was like, I definitely don't know who that kid is screaming over in the corner, because he lost his mind. And I think we all know children that do that. And it's not that they're just awful children. It's that they love their parents and they forget that they're ever going to come back. And they're like, they're leaving me here for the rest of my life. I think we're like that this morning, church. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we're super forgetful about what God does in our life, right? God works in our life, but then when something comes up, we hit a trial and we say, well, this is it, we're doomed. It could be the smallest thing. We totally forget what God has done. Totally forget. And we said, yep, we're doomed. And this has happened to me personally lately. Julia, I woke up one morning. Julia is a school teacher. That's my wife, Julia, over there. If you see her this morning and her face is red because I announced that, it's because I announced she does not like to be recognized in front of a big group of people. But she called me one morning, and I woke up to 4 missed phone calls at about 7 a.m., which is not a good thing that happens. And her car was broke down on the side of the road, right? Car was broke down on the side of the road. I start freaking out because her car had already had problems. We take it to the shop, and they say, it's the condenser. It's going to cost you $1,000. Plus, I need a new tire. So I was looking at like $2,500. I'm 24, $2,500. I don't build that up that fast this young, okay? So I was freaking out. Like, how are we going to do this? God, what now? I'm losing my mind. I totally forgotten any time that God had provided for me before that, right? Totally forgot about any of that and ignored what God had done in my life and said, well, this is it. She's going to have to walk to work. And she worked at Pinson Elementary at the time. So, I mean, but 3-hour walk, no big deal. So I'm freaking out. God ended up providing just like he always does. And I think we do that a lot in our lives, but it's not revolutionary, right? People in the Bible have done that since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve forgot all that God provided for them and sinned for the first time ever, right? But also, if we look later in Genesis, there's this person named Abraham. Do you guys remember Abraham? He was the father of many nations, also the father of God's people, the Israelites, right? He is the father of many nations, but I want to talk about the original gangster, Abram. Do you guys remember him? Same guy, different name. He's the OG. He's the original. And I want to talk about Abram and his story because I think God is going to teach us something through Abram this morning because he got super forgetful in a way that is crazy. So if you guys would turn with me to Genesis 15, 1 through 6. I'm sorry, 1 through 5. Genesis 15, 1 through 5. It says this. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? So at this point, Abram had, a few chapters before, Abram had already been promised that he would be the father of great nations, but he still has no kids. So this is what he's questioning. He's like, somebody else that is not my child is going to get all my land, which back in the day was huge, right? Land meant power, and if you had power, you had a lot back then. Power doesn't mean as much today, but we all try to seek it, right? But power back then was huge, and it had a lot to deal with land, the amount of people you had working for you, and stuff like that. And so he's worried that one of his servants, one of these people from another place, is going to get his inheritance, and he's going to have no kids. So that's where we're at. And then he says this, and Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. So God was like, I know you're questioning me right now, but watch this. Go outside, go look up at the stars. That's how much your offspring will be. You don't have to worry. I got this handled. So if you're Abram, you got to be feeling pretty good right now. You've just been promised to be the leader of great nations. Your kids are going to, your offspring is going to number the stars. And on top of that, they're going to number the stars and they're all going to be God's people. How about that? So as Abram, you got to be feeling pretty cool. Like a modern comparison, he's like the Duggars, and he's also president, right? So he's feeling good. He's like, I'm president. I also have a ton of kids, and all my kids are going to be leaders. This is going to be great. Oh, and everybody, and God is going to love them. The all-powerful creator God is going to take care of them for the rest of their lives. So you got to be feeling pretty good, right? But then God doesn't answer as fast as Abram wanted him to. Right? God didn't answer as fast as Abram wanted to. And so Abram's still strolling through. He had already questioned God before, but now he's strolling through again. He's like, dang, I still ain't got no kids. You gonna speed this up, God? I need you to speed this up. And then his wife, Sarai, who was also the OG to Sarah, Sarai was talking, and she was like, hey, we ain't got no kids. We got to do something about this. God is not going to answer this promise, even though he's answered every promise before. He's definitely not going to answer this one. We still have no kids. Then we look in chapter 16, and it gets super crazy, all right? This is when he started to forget what God had promised him. He started to forget, and him and Sarai were sitting in their room, and they're like, God's left us. We're doomed. We've got to figure this out, because we can't let this servant have our inheritance. We can't let that happen. So they devised a plan, and this is what it was. Chapter 16, verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. See, immediately God had already promised her that she would have children, and then quickly she blamed God because she didn't, right? God had promised her, and then something happened that she wasn't okay with. It was taking too long. She's like, well, this is God's fault. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing, right? She said, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. Now reading this story, knowing that what God had promised Abram, we look at Abram and we're like, what are you doing? You've been promised everything and you're going to go do this? That's our first initial reaction, right? And if we continue reading the story, we know things get even crazier. Hagar has Ishmael, then Sarai actually gets pregnant and God answers their promise, and then she gets super jealous. She kicks Ishmael and Hagar out of the house. It gets crazy, right? But if we're looking at this story, our first reaction is, yeah, we'd never do that. God promised us a bunch of stuff, and we would have never gone and done our own thing. But the truth is, we forget about God's promises all the time. And the truth is, we react a lot like Abram. I know I do. Maybe I'm just speaking to myself this morning. But we react a lot like Abram. We ignore what God has done before. We ignore what God has said he is going to do. And we take it upon ourselves to do our own thing. And my first point this morning, and what I'm going to stick to this morning, is that we've got to stop making reactions and start making prayerful decisions. We've got to stop making reactions because we forgot what God has done, and start remembering what he said he is going to do, and start making prayerful decisions based on that. We got to start making prayerful decisions based on that. And I think there's two areas in our lives that we ignore what God has done and we forget what he has done and we start doing our own thing. And I think the first part of that, the first part where we react to things, is when we hit something hard, right? When we hit something that's difficult. Our first reaction is not God most of the time. I know for me, a lot of the time my first reaction is, how can I fix this myself? Not how is God going to help me through this? But if we look in Romans 8:28, it says that he works all things for the good of those who love him. Now, he may not answer it the way you want it to. He may not work it the way you want it to, but he will answer it. And I can confidently tell you today, I would not be the person I am if God had not worked through my trials. And I think the important part of that verse is that God works in the tough situations. He doesn't cause them, right? God doesn't cause death. We did that, right? We did that years ago. Adam and Eve. God doesn't cause us to sin. God doesn't give us cancer. God doesn't take our parents away from us. But God works in those situations. And I am confident today that I would not be the person without the stuff I've gone through. And you can say, you're 24, you're just out of youth group, what have you gone through? I can confidently tell you, not as much as you probably have. But I can say that what I have gone through, God has used that for his glory. And I think a lot of the times we forget that when we face tough situations. I lost my dad when I was 13. And I would not be here today if God had not brought me out of that. Would not be here today. And it's not anything I have done, it's what God has done. But I guarantee when I lose another family member, which I will, I'll question the same thing. What do I do now? We're doomed. But that's when we got to remember most what God has done and what he has promised he's going to do. The second part of this, the second thing that I think we forget about what God has done, is when somebody else hurts us. And this is, we're going to get a little personal, okay? This one's going to sting a little bit more. When somebody hurts us, our first reaction is what? Hurt back, right? Or to drop them completely. How many of you are people like, you hurt me, we're done, see you later, I ain't talking to you anymore? You don't have to raise your hand, I know. It's okay. I'm one of those people. Thank you, Alora. Look, Alora is already like, I'm ready for church this morning. Alora, you keep raising your hand, I'm going to keep saying your name, all right? I got you. But a lot of us, at least some of us in this room are, you hurt me, we're done. I'm done with you. Could care less what happens to you. But we're forgetting something. We're forgetting what God has done for us. Because, church, this morning we hurt God bad. Hurt him bad. I hurt God every day almost. I'd like to say that wasn't true, but it is. I am a sinner, and I hurt God all the time. But when somebody hurts us, we immediately forget what Jesus did for us on the cross. Immediately. We forget that we hurt God in the greatest way possible and sent him to die on the cross. And I say we because sin is what put him there. We are who put him there. And I'd like to say that if we were back in Jesus' time, we'd be like the disciples and following him. But the truth is, we'd probably be the crowd telling him to put on the cross. Telling the king to put him on the cross. That's probably who we'd be. But we forget that Jesus died for our sins, even though we've done nothing to deserve it. Even though all we've done is do everything to not deserve it. And we've got to stop forgetting that when other people hurt us. Do you want people to know who Jesus is? Forgive them when they hurt you. Forgive them when they mess up. When they hurt you so deeply you think you could never forgive them, you want to show the love of Jesus? Forgive them for that. See, church, we've got to stop forgetting what God has done in our lives. That way, when we face something difficult, when we face something hard, we know that God is going to finish what he started in us. Because I've read the end of the story, and I hope you have too, but in the end, God wins. In the end, God wins. If you read the end of the Bible, God's word, he comes back and he wipes out all evil and all suffering and all pain. He wins, and we've got to hold on to that when we face hard things. We cannot forget what God has done and what he is doing, and I think that applies to Grace Point this morning. You guys have been through a lot of stuff. You guys have seen a church split. You guys have seen a lot. Now you're transitioning to a new pastor, a new children's director, and a new student pastor. That's hard. I'm not going to tell you it's not. But can I tell you something? God sustained you through the split, and he's going to grow you in the transition. God's got big things here at Grace Point and at GMV. I think God is going to use this partnership to change our region, because this is revolutionary. Churches don't do this. Churches don't partner together and say, we're going to work together on this. We're going to work together on getting people to know who Jesus is. Churches focus on them and their own and bringing their own in. Because that's how churches stay alive, right? That's why this is so powerful, because we've put our own needs aside and said, we're going to do this together. We're going to do this together. And so let's not forget what God has done at Grace Point. And let's not forget what God has promised to do. God is going to get us through. God is going to do amazing things here. We've got a lot to be excited about at Grace Point. We've got a lot to be excited about at Grace Point. I want you guys to be excited. I know me and Amy and Jake are excited. And the rest of the transition team and everybody at GMV. We are excited, and we think you guys are going to help us just as much. We might not help you guys at all. You guys are going to help us a ton, though. We believe we can learn a lot from you, and we believe that God is going to do amazing things. So let's not forget what God has done this morning, and let's stop reacting and start making prayerful decisions. Are you excited this morning? Are you excited this morning? Now we're going to go into a time of communion, but before that, I want to pray. I don't know if I'm praying for somebody specifically in this room, but I think God is changing a heart here this morning, and maybe it's mine. But I want to pray this morning. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you specifically. And you don't have to stand up or raise your hand, but I'm going to pray this morning that God is changing hearts and that we leave different this morning. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are the same now as you have always been. You are our rock that we stand firm on, God. God, I believe that there's somebody in this room that is hearing your word this morning in a new light. That is hearing the promises that you have made and that you are going to do amazing things, God. I pray that we leave this place different. That we stop forgetting what you've done. And start trusting you with our whole life. God, we believe in you. We believe in what your Son has done on the cross. And we are hoping and knowing what you're going to do when your Son returns. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.